Morning, church.
Morning.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to praise the Lord?
Yes.
You know, it's a great time of worship today. It's a great time to come together and just worship God in unity. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, we opened out a scripture last week with Revelation chapter 4. We see a bit of the glimpse of what heaven looks like, or what the throne room of God looks like. And what we see was, just focusing on what was the elders all worshipping around the throne, you know, together in unity, just proclaiming that word, that He is holy, holy, holy. And this is what we were doing this morning. You know, if you are all connected, you know, it's truly amazing that when you do that. And so before I go into the word, then let's declare, oh hallelujah, which means what? Praise the Lord. And we praise Him. Which means we praise Him for who He is.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that our Jesus is victorious. Amen?
Amen.
And if He is victorious, His church is victorious. Amen?
Amen.
And if His church is victorious, who's defeated?
The devil.
So when we declare that, not only are we proclaiming the victory in Christ, but we're also reminding the devil that he is
defeated.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah!
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 Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up this time, Lord. Lord, let your word be preached, Lord. Not my words, but your words. That words that is a fire, Lord, that will enter the hearts of the people today. And Lord, as your people hear, as they receive, as they believe, let faith arise right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, and we declare that truly there is a new dimension of worship, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We give you praise, Almighty God. We give you praise, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Alright, I'm going to continue talking about, you know, being sons of God, and being sons of God knowing the heart of the Father, right? And using David as our model, where God said that, you know, David is a man after my own heart. And it's truly, as we were doing the last life group lesson, that side of, curriculum or lessons from Pastor Bill Johnson about, you know, truly to know what is the heart of God. Right? To know the heart of God, to know what praise is, what thanksgiving is, what does it mean to Him, and why is it so important for all of us to have that? Right? So that in the end, then we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Right? You all still remember that?
Yeah.
So don't like, you know, we were trying to say put in the shelf or give back to the life group teacher. Please don't do that. Okay, those are really life lessons that we can just take on and continue to use those principles that we've learned and in our devotion life, in our life, as we walk with Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, and as you hear the word again, and there's so much focus now on worship, and also, as I was listening to Pastor Joseph's message on the week that I was away, you know, he was talking about prayer. Something that I caught on was that, you know, sometimes we feel like, because maybe our voice is not so nice, so we don't feel like worshipping. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I can't pray like pastors for 1 hour, 2 hours. Then we say, I don't really want to do. Right? But Pastor was saying this. He just declared this. Don't have a spirit of competition or comparison. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just worship. Just give Him worship. Just pray. Just spend time in prayer. Just give Him praise. Whether we feel like it or not. You know, sometimes it's going to go beyond that emotion or how we feel.
Yeah.
But we just got to take that step or that decision to pursue to have this heart of worship. It cannot be overnight, right? It has to start from somewhere. But that decision must come first for us to pursue this, having the heart of worship, or to have the heart of praying, or to have that this spending time with God. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. And like a seed, you know, when we receive it, seed has to be nurtured before it grows, right? You don't have to be a gardener to know that, okay? Alright? The seed doesn't grow overnight. It takes time, it takes care, it takes water, you know, and all the different things. It takes a bit of protection as well, depending on where you plant the seed. You have to put it in the hot sun, without water, okay, without fertilizer, or you know what I'm trying to say, okay? Yeah. So all these seeds that we receive, we cannot forsake them. We gotta really nurture them. Alright? And whatever words that we've received, either from today or from last week's message or from Pastor Joseph, let's all just keep nurturing them. Keep nurturing it. But the point is, what I want to make is, just do. And what I got from Pastor Joseph, just do. Everyone say it with me, just do.
Just do.
I don't put the eat where you can, you know. Yeah, that's like Nike, you know, stealing it. Okay, alright, everyone say it with me, just do.
Just do.
Alright, I'm just going to go on. So Ludwig shared with us last week from John chapter 4, right, about worshipping God, and Adrian reminded us again, where we see that, you know, Jesus was explaining to this lady about, you know, do we worship here on this mountain or there or Jerusalem? But Jesus said, no, it's no more about place. Or maybe we can also take it as, it's no more about just the time. Is it worship just on Sunday, just in life group, just in prayer meeting? No, it should be a lifestyle. It should be all the time, right? Yeah. And that worship must also be in spirit and in truth. And when we worship in the spirit, then we are brought into Revelation chapter 4. You know, when we worship in the spirit dimension and the heavenly dimensions are revealed to us.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to be in the spirit, to worship in the spirit. And also in truth, where Adrian just said about, you know, worshipping in truth of what God says. Yeah. Right? It's not about how we feel or not, but what did the Bible say about Christ? That's how we worship in truth. And also, for me, it goes a bit more than that. When we worship, when we come together, when we sing songs, right? Don't worship in lies, which means if we say we stand in awe, then let's do it standing, yeah. Right? If we say we lift up our hands to you, Lord, then let's do it in truth.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
There is that, what we call that spiritual part about knowing and the truth about Christ, but also let our worship, let our expression of worship be in truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And and when we worship in truth also, what we are worshipping is, we are worshipping the way God wants us to worship. Alright, there is a pattern of worship. And also, when we worship in truth, it comes from our heart. It's not just about showing off whether we can sing well, we can worship longer than somebody else. It's not about that. Right? It's got to do with worshipping in truth means worshipping from the heart as well. So, and then when we worship in the spirit, when the spirit dimension and the heavenly dimensions are revealed to us, right? Can you commit your imagination to the spirit for a while? Right? What do we see first? First, we see one sitting on the throne. I won't read the whole thing, right? But I just give you a snippet of what is. We see that throne in the middle and the one sitting on it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll expound what that means to me. Right, when I get this revelation about when we worship, we need to have the one sitting on the throne in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, which means he must be our attention. Yeah, he must have all our attention. And then there must be holiness. You know, talking about white clothing, you know, gold, there's fire, right? There has to be some purity as well, or holiness in the worship. Right? And then three, there is praise and thanksgiving. And the last one, there is like what we call worship as well. Okay, when it says, you know, holy, holy, our glory and honor be unto him. Alright, so let's go. Alright, so when we talk about the one sitting on the throne, what are we talking about? Firstly, let's look personally for ourselves. Is there a throne of God in our life? What does that mean? A throne is, who sits on the throne? In the natural, who sits on the throne?
Jesus.
The king, right? The king, the one who rules. Who rules in our life? Who has the final say? Who has the final authority. Who influences our thoughts, our decisions, or our actions? Right?
Yeah.
When we know that, to me, when I begin to see that, it's like, oh, that is like the start of how to worship God.
Yeah.
Almost. We have to really know that, firstly, why we worship Him is because He is someone, or He's not just someone, He's the King that rules in my life, and so He deserves my worship. And we see in John chapter 4, it says, God is seeking for worshippers. You know, tell yourself this. Do you know that God is looking for you to worship Him? He looks... sorry, man. Which means, you know, He looks forward for you to come and just worship Him.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Amen?
Yeah.
So not just... not just what we call when we see the Lord's Prayer, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Let your will be done. Last time when I first got this prayer, when we were reading, you know, to me it's a very external thing. What I mean is that when we pray, right, we say, let your will be done so that a school is built in this area. Okay? So let your will be done for this country to be saved. Right? It's very, very external. Can you follow what I'm saying? But little did we know, like sometimes this prayer is also something called let your will be done in my life, which means not what I want to be done, let your will be done in my life. You know, can we come to that surrender almost, to know that if God has a final, if God is sitting on the throne of my life, let His will be done in me. So as I grow a bit, I begin to realize this prayer is not to like use for declaring and then get outside. Yes, we use it for that, but also in our life, can we apply this as well? Let your will be done. Everyone say to me, let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
You know, is He the center of our life? So when we talk about this, when we worship God, where is my attention? Right? So let's come to the practical then. During worship time, where is my attention? Can I worship with like this and then I check myself a while and then back to worshiping? Or my thoughts, what am I thinking while I'm worshiping? Am I thinking about the food I ate last night or the show or maybe there was a sports event that is happening at the moment and you're like, oh, I wonder who win. You know, that kind of thing. Let's come down to a bit basic. Practical things, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, in heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, when they worship, God was in the center, the throne.
Yeah.
Now, all our attention should be there. If it helps you to turn off the phone, then maybe turn off the phone or put it in the bag so that sometimes in the pocket it vibrates, right? And then you look very tempted to check, right? So this is what it means, number one. Everyone say with me, the one sitting on the throne.
The one sitting on the throne.
So when we worship, you know, I'm sort of explaining it two ways. One is the life principle. Is He sitting in the center of my life? And then also when you are in that time of, you want to worship, you know, is He your attention? Yeah? Amen?
Amen.
Alright. The second thing is holiness. Right? There is holiness. You know, holiness basically means set apart for purity. Everyone say with me, set apart?
Set apart.
For purity.
For purity.
Alright, let's read together Psalms 24 there. 1, 2, 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord
and righteousness from the Lord
of his salvation. So here it says that, you know, for a person to come into the throne of God, he has to have clean hands, pure heart. Now, we don't want to go the other way and say, today I don't feel, quote unquote, feel holy, I don't feel worthy, so I better not worship God. Because that's the point of why Christ died on the cross for us, right? Amen?
Yeah.
He is our righteousness.
Yeah,
right? He gave us that holiness. He gave us that access to the throne room of God. Right? We are all not perfect, but God gave us a way to, quoting from this, to ascend into the hill of the Lord, to stand in His holy place. Christ did that for us. Right? So let's continue to be connected to Christ and also the Holy Spirit, who will continually teach us and prick our conscience when we do something wrong. Right? When we are connected. Definitely when we worship in the Spirit, if there is something wrong in our life, we won't be able to worship properly. Right? Until we say, oh, I'm sorry, and then I repent. You know, I confess, yes, this is not right in my life. I take a decision to change, right? And but I need your blood to cleanse me first, right? And then I make that decision to change. So, you know, we cannot go extremes in all of this, right? Because we need to understand what Christ has done for us, and then hang on or grab hold of that holiness, and then enter it. Amen?
Yeah.
And then, God also says that, that, you know, it is written, be holy for I am holy. And we are called to manifest God's character. So God's, one of God's character is holiness. So as we worship Him, right, we become like the person that we worship. And so as we come and worship in holiness, we, because of His character, we can become more and more holy as well. Alright? And we talk about being sons of God, right? Right? And being sons of God, we are children of God, then we must reflect the character of the Father. Yeah? Next one about holiness, then, you know, we talk about being set apart for purity, so I won't go too deep into it, but basically, when we talk about holiness, it's not like we talk about a thing being magically holy. So, you know, in the Old Testament, they use utensils, cups, or whatever, the golden things. You know, those are set apart for the use of God, right? But it itself, like, it's not like magically holy, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's nothing special about the cup.
Yeah.
Right? What's special about it is it's been set aside for a specific purpose for God to use.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, put that back in our life. If my life is holy, it means that it's been set apart for a specific purpose for God to use. Which means, let's take it literally then. My hands, here, my hands, right? It cannot be used for something else except for God's purpose.
Yeah.
My eyes cannot be used for anything else except to for God's purpose, to see Him, to worship Him, to express it, right? All our body, not just hands, not just feet, but the whole being, right? And there's something that we learned in Dr. Jonathan, something that just amazes me was like, do you realize that every part of your body was created so that it can worship God? Mm-hmm. He takes it very literal, like ears to hear the word of God, mouth to proclaim the word of God, to speak, to proclaim the gospel to the people, eyes to see the visions of God, to see what the Spirit is doing, to see what God is doing, to see, take it all literally, you know. And then when we understand that, then we know that this is set aside for our God to use. Amen.
Yeah.
Alright, and so we are set apart from Him, set apart for a purpose, and our body, our whole being is made to worship Him, to feel Him literally, right? Pastor Michi always says, can you feel God? You know, when there's the presence of God so strong, you can feel it. You have to touch Him, to feel Him. And when we are worshipping the Spirit, as I said before, the Holy Spirit, if there's something that's not right, He will work with us. Yeah? Yeah. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Alright. So that's holiness. Everyone say with me, holiness.
Holiness.
Alright, next one.
Praise.
Okay, no. And then what next? Alright, next one. Say with me, praise and thanksgiving.
Praise and thanksgiving.
Praise and thanksgiving, according to Pastor Bill, in that strengthening yourself in the Lord, it gives us that pathway to God, right? And we see here that in this scripture, Psalms 100, let's read the whole thing together. 1, 2, 3.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations.
Amen. So here, we see that, you know, worshipping God doesn't just limit to thanksgiving and praise, but it's also about making joyful noise, joyful shout, right? I'm so glad today's choice of, songs, right, requires us all to actions, right? So that we can worship in truth.
Yeah.
And that one is all biblical. We know that even David, right? Do you all remember that story where he danced with all his might before the Lord, right? So all this thing is not about, let's sing song quietly. I'm not saying that is wrong, okay? There are times, depending on the song or depending on the time or how the Spirit is moving, we can have like soaking sessions, right? We can have singing, you know, and just enjoy the Spirit of God. But at other times, that requires us to be excited, to move a bit, right? To stand, at least lift up hands, okay? Whatever the song says, when we proclaim it in our mouth, are we also doing it with our whole being, actions? Okay? And just briefly, you know, praise basically is praising God for who He is, and thanksgiving is for what He has done. We thank someone when someone has done something nice for us, right?
Yeah.
So, has Jesus done something nice for us?
Yes.
when you say like that, can you see the degree of, stop. That's undermining what Christ has done.
Yeah.
Right? But sometimes our action shows like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes my action shows that. Thank you. Right? It's no excitement, but sometimes we just gotta remind ourselves, what has Christ done for me?
Yeah.
Right? Then we become very excited. Then when praise for who He is, right? He is God. He's the person that's arisen from the dead. Right? He's that victorious King that we are all serving. Amen?
Yeah.
And Ludwig made this very profound statement at prayer meeting. Right? If your neighbor's cat rose again from the dead, what would you be? You'd be like, wow, that's exciting. That's why, that's not the only thing we got from prayer meeting. But can you imagine? But this is Jesus we're talking about. This is this King that we are serving. He has risen from the grave. Amen. Right? He has conquered death.
That's it.
Right? And what more? He doesn't just do that for Himself, but He's given us that power.
Yeah.
Now that power that raised Jesus from the dead is now in us.
Yeah.
How exciting that is.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So all these things should, when we see some exciting songs, maybe then this kind of thought should come into our, then we go, oh, wow. Right? You become a bit more excited, move our body a bit.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's praise and thanksgiving. Next one. And it says in the Bible as well that, you know, in Psalms 22 verse 3, where it says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, which means God likes to be in the praises of His people. He wants to dwell. When His people gather together praising Him, this is like an invitation for God to come.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Right? And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it's like, this is what, like a command to us, you know, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Yeah.
And when we invite God, and when we start praising Him, in good times, easier. Okay? Let's just be honest. It's easier to praise God. In bad times, not so much. But less than, in bad times, what do we tend to do? We tend to pray, right? We tend to, God, this is my problem, blah, 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 blah. Can you help? Then, don't just stop there. Can you help me? But then turn it into praise. How do we pray it into praise? Is that we must see that God has answered it. Mm-hmm. And so, there are things that are already in motion for that prayer to be answered.
Yeah.
So when we see that prayer answered, then we can praise God. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? Then we can start thanking Him because We're not seeing the results yet, but we know that God hears and that result will come.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that will make us praise and thanks, give thanks to Him. So, now it makes sense, whether good or bad, we can always give thanks. Amen?
Yeah?
Alright, and then the last one which I'm going to focus a bit more is that worship part. And just to remind us, because everyone say to me, worship.
Worship.
In spirit.
In spirit.
And in truth.
And in truth.
Okay? And there is three things that, from that, what we call throne room worship that we saw in Revelation chapter 4, I sort of break it down a bit. There's a few kinds of worship we see, which is all sort of related together. Number one is the, what we call Amen worship. Everyone say with me, Amen worship.
Amen worship.
Alright? So we see here is that worshiping is more than just sound or music. Alright? It's important. I'm not saying music is not important. Right? But it has to be more than that. Right? Music helps us to come into that state of coming to worship God. You know, there is a comment I can't remember which preacher, but it says, you know, sometimes we think, when we turn on worship music in the car and we're driving, we think that is our worship time.
Yeah.
We think.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're driving and you don't even know what song is playing. But you're so familiar with the songs already, you don't even, right? You can also have an argument in the car with the worship song coming on. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't say don't turn on music or worship music in the car. Alright? But I'm just saying don't deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Saying, oh, this is my worship time with God. It's every morning when I drive to work, and then when someone cuts in front of you, you get angry and do you get what I'm saying? Okay, we know. I'm trying to say that it's not about the music, but it's got to come in from the heart.
Yeah.
Right? Why did you put in the? Maybe you started out correct. Oh, I want to put music in my car so that, you know, it keeps me in the state of worship, in this atmosphere of worship.
Yeah.
But sometimes we get too familiar already, and then we forgot or we take it for granted. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why I went into that. Amen worship, okay. Yes. Coming back to Amen worship. Maybe someone did that. Maybe I did that. Alright, Amen worship. Alright, which means that we agree and proclaim who He is. Alright, let's all turn to Revelation chapter 4. Let's do that. Okay, let's. Okay, Revelation chapter 4, the second part of verse 8. Are you all ready? Alright, let's declare that together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and who was, and is to come. But not in this voice. Bit more enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Alright, okay. You all ready?
Yeah.
Oh, ready, is it?
Oh,
sorry,
stop.
I thought you were. Okay, sorry. Alright. 1, 2, 3.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come.
Again,
holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
One last time.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Let's read verse 11. You are
worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
Okay? So this is what worship means. And that's why it's important that when we worship, we know who we are worshiping, or we, from reading the Bible, we understand who God is. Then we got a bit more ammunition to say, like, you know, when we worship, it's not just praise His name. Okay? Then when you, in your own time, when you're worshiping God, you know, it's important to read the book of Psalms especially, because you know, it reveals to us a lot more about who God is, and you know, we can worship Him and agree and proclaim for who He is, right? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Alright, then the next one, sacrificial worship. Alright. Why this part comes from the when, you know, all the elders cast their crowns, right? So it's about that giving to God, right? Oh, sorry, hang on. Take a step back. Okay, sacrificial worship is about giving to God. Where He says, when they say that the elders are giving glory, all right? It's about giving to who? Giving to God. There is a direction. There is an attention when we worship God. There must be that thing, I'm giving worship to God right now. Right? It's not about men. It's not about showing off my voice or how I dance, whether my dance also got certain moves that I can do better than others. It's all about giving to God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And hopefully when you hear that, it goes two ways. Number one is there's no pride in terms of how high you can jump or how best you can dance. But also on the other end, if you can't jump or if you can't dance, then why do it anyway? Right? Just do it. Okay? No one's watching. No one's watching. It's not for men anyway. You're doing it for God. You're doing it to God. And He sees that. He sees the heart. Right? Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Alright. Next one. The last one. This is the one. Humility worship, where the elders cast their crowns. Right? Wow, if you imagine it, it's just amazing. It just points back to that time when David, right, just took off his royal clothes. Probably, I don't know if he was wearing his crown then, he also put it aside. Because he wants to dance with all his might, so he had to put all those things aside, right? It's like, whatever he has, whatever status, achievement, you know, all that he has, he just put it aside. If God is not looking at that. He just wants to look at the heart. He just wants to look at the person. All that is laid. So hopefully when we worship God as well, you know, sometimes it's great to see, wow, the blessings of God upon my life. Wow, you know, I've got this and that. But sometimes it's just like, give it back to God then. You know, put it back onto His feet. Because all those things came from Him anyway. Amen? Right?
Yeah.
When we see that, we came to... Oh, well, I begin to have this awe. You know, wow, God, you are really great. I just want to give everything back to you. Right? And from that, you know, it becomes an expression of love. It becomes, you know, and from then, it can be an action that we can do. Right? The casting crown, the kneeling and all that, that's an action. Right? From where? From that heart first. From the heart knowing who God is and what He's done for us. All these awesome things. And then there will be an action that comes out after that. So with excitement together, you know, when we all proclaim together, right? That is really amazing. Like I gave the example before, you know, when we know who Christ is, who has risen from the dead, it becomes very exciting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is maybe why you feel like that or anything, okay? I'm just maybe giving a few things. We take sports for example, right? Because whenever we teach children, we have to give simple examples, and then in the end, I'm learning myself,
yeah.
Right? You know, we take sports for example. Now, I used to do taekwondo. You all know what that is, right? It's a fighting one. And it's my cousin also went, and there was one day we went for a competition. I wasn't in that competition at that time. She was. And, you know, I went with her mom, alright, to go and watch this competition. Now, when we are there, when it wasn't her turn to fight, we were like, you know, oh, so boring, I quit, right? Okay, what is this point I'm trying to make? When that thing that is happening, that time,
yeah.
when it doesn't have to do anything with us, we won't have that excitement,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so coming back to here, when we come together on Sunday, let's take an example, Sunday morning,
yeah.
This thing that we're doing now together, does it have to do with us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you see what I'm trying to bring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. It has, definitely. Okay. Jesus saved all of us here. Alright, that is definite, right? Okay? Okay, coming back to the taekwondo bit. Okay, then, when my cousin came to fight, wow, we from our seat, we started standing up, we started going, kick on. Wow, and when she scores a point, which means when you hit someone the body or the head when it makes that noise, wow, we were like, yeah, kick some more. Right? So you see when that excitement comes is when you are supporting that person. Wow, kick on, you know. There's action, no need to follow on, right? You don't expect someone to stand up and clap. Oh, that's how I do. Okay, okay. It's automatic.
Yeah.
Right? It's automatic.
Yeah.
But sometimes, okay, this is the concept, but sometimes when we go in a school or sports, when it's school, then when we cheer together as a team, sometimes, even though it's not our friend who's racing and all that, but when we start seeing everybody cheering, then we all begin to cheer together. The excitement also can be infectious.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, same with us. Sometimes we see, hey, how come some people clap? And then we're like, oh, no need to join. It's not about that. It's got nothing to do. It's like coming back to the throne room worship. We see the elders, everyone do together.
Yeah.
Right? There is, out of this thing, these three types of worship, the last thing we see is there is the unity worship. Everyone's just doing it together. Not one elder sitting down on his own little throne, or he's checking his phone. No, it says that all of them cast their crown, all of them proclaim, all of them do together. Amen.
Yeah.
So hopefully, when you see this, you know, if we can use sports as an example, people get excited and all that. Then why not us? You know, why not us?
Yeah.
Why not us without God?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to get this. Obviously, we don't want to create excitement for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about hype or anything like that. Sometimes I don't feel. But sometimes you begin to think again and again what God has done for you. You know how awesome He is in your life.
Yeah.
You can't help it,
yeah.
Right? And I feel like this is like that new dimension of worship that should come into each and every one of
yeah.
us. That. You know, it's not about the song, it's not about the jumping, it's not, yes, these are all what you call love being expressed. You know, our body being used to express our love to God. But it has to go more than that,
yeah.
right? Or it has to go deeper than that,
yeah.
right? It has to come from why are we actually doing this, right? Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah?
Alright, so let's conclude then with. As we begin to have this new dimension of worship in us, as we understand more and more about worship, you know, it says that God wants to dwell among us. Or the word He used is tabernacle. Okay, tabernacle is basically a large tent, right? Think about this. God wants, yes, He's in heaven, right? But He's also everywhere. But more importantly, He wants to dwell with us.
Yeah.
Alright? And even though this is something we haven't talked about or focused on a lot, right? We talk about church unusual, right? One of the characteristics of being church unusual is that it is a church that is able to make a habitation or an atmosphere that is conducive for God to be here, firstly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, God really wants to come. And then He can move, He can manifest, He can transact with us, which means there's a dynamic relationship, okay? Freely and fully, right? We allow God to do that. You know, we create, not allow as in permission, as in we make it conducive for God to come and dwell with us. And, you know, not only here on earth as a church, but also individually for us as well. Remember, like, when I talk about the throne of God, that holiness, praise and faith, is that in our life? And also, when we come together, do we have that in us? So it has to be both personal and also corporately as well, right?
Yeah.
So we see here that God, right, when He chooses all of us here as that living bricks, you know, we are His house, as it says in Hebrews 3 verse 6, we become His house. We become that container of God's presence. We become that habitation. Can you see that how awesome that is?
Yeah.
That we are the one that can make God come or to be that portal, right? Church unusual? House of God, gateway to heaven. So when we begin to think of this, this is what we want. This is can be that result of having that new dimension of worship. Then we all can really move in this thing called church unusual.
Yeah.
Alright, we're not talking about unusual as in awkward, right? It's unusual because it is truly different from the natural. It is a spiritual church. It is a heavenly church.
Yeah.
It's that church where God can come down and dwell.
Yes.
Amen. And this is what we want when we talk about this new dimension. So expect this to happen in your life.
Yeah.
Right? As we declare, you know, the word has just been coming up. A new dimension of worship, new dimension of prayer, pursue impartation as well. Right?
Yeah.
People who have this, you know, you get it from them.
Yes.
Right? By prayer, by impartation. So by closing, let's close in prayer and let's declare that each and every one of us will truly come to this true heart of worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we get the musician? Praise.